have as believers that has been won for us through Jesus Christ. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures with you this morning on those lines. And the title of this morning's message is Freedom in Jesus. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles with you or your electronic versions of it or whatever, I encourage you to follow so that you can memorize these scriptures and see where they are, and when other people need help, you'd be able to help them with it. Freedom in Jesus. In John 8:32, the scripture says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And then in verse 36 of John 8, it says, "So, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." And it's interesting to note that the scripture uses those words where it says, "truly free," which would cause us to believe that there's a kind of freedom that people can experience that's not true freedom. You can perceive to be free, but you're not truly free. "You shall come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And with great freedom comes great responsibility. Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of the American president from 1933 to, I believe, 1945, about made this statement, and she says, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility. For the person who's unwilling to grow up, the person who does not want to carry his own weight, this is a frightening prospect." You see, with freedom, it also leaves us with the freedom to choose. Oftentimes we've meditated on this thing. If God is he's all-omnipotent and he's omniscient, and why didn't he just make us to automatically obey him? Dink julle nie dit sou baie baie makliker gewees het? Dink bietjie daaroor. Jy het nie die keuse gehad om to follow him or not. You just automatically obeyed Jesus and the Lord. How then, my brother, my sister, would you experience the concept of love where you choose to love another? You wouldn't know that. And because ons is in God se beeld geskape, he's an agent of his own free will. He made us in his image with our own free will. Therefore, as human beings, we have the awesome, weighty responsibility of taking this freedom and choosing to live a life that honors him or not. So with great freedom comes great responsibility. We are free indeed, and if the Son sets you free, you'll be truly free. Dis wonderlik. But yet, we are still bound to a decision that we have to make. We're still bound to make a choice. Luke 12 and verse 48, the B part, gives you scriptural confirmation for that concept of if you have much freedom, you have much responsibility. It says this, "When someone has been given much," this is from the NLT, "when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required." All right. So then, what is the major choice that we have in life? What's the major decision that we have to make? You see, folks, this is not a question of which kind of toothpaste to use. This is a decision that we make that affects our lives. And there's another dynamic to it, because the decisions that we make not only affects our lives. Think of your trip here this morning on the way to church. Whether you, if you had the privilege of coming by motorcycle, wonderful. If you came in a car, we'll forgive you for that. We're just joking. Anybody and everybody's welcome here. But dit wat jy op die pad gedoen het, het die ander motoriste rondom jou ook geaffekteer. The fact that you did or didn't use your indicator. In South Africa, we use our indicators to let people know of the maneuver that we've already performed. Isn't it so? Jy het al klaar begin draai en van baan verander, dan sit jy jou indicator. Okay, wat gaan jy daarom trend doen? Frikkie, watch, hou my top, watch hierdie move. But a simple thing like that, what you did on the road this morning affected other motorists around you. And so too in our lives. It's not just the small little decisions. It's every decision that we make affects other people. The scripture says this, and read this passage of scripture. It is simple. The scripture makes it so clear. It's not complicated. Deuteronomy 30 from verse 15. It says, now listen, everybody listen. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. But, everybody say but, if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long. Good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. You will not live a long and good life. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness this choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. I've shared this illustration before. When we were going through school, we had things known as multiple choice or monkey puzzles. Can you relate to what I'm saying? It gives you the answers there. And it's like that with God. He tells you, he has this choice before you today. And he makes it so easy, he gives you the answer. He says, I'm encouraging you today, choose life. Because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And if you do, this is what's going to happen. And folks, that's the choice that we have today. We have great freedom, but we all have this choice. Am I going to choose life? Disaster or prosperity? Blessings or curses? Right here where we sit today, we are all a product of the decisions that we've made up until now. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. Weet je wat ons aangaande gister kan doen? Can we determine what happens tomorrow? But the choices that we make today can have an impact on our tomorrow. Can you say amen? And that's this great freedom that we have with this great responsibility. We have this choice. Today, the freedom that we've been given in Jesus is the freedom to choose Him, to choose life, to choose His life. We can't put our heads in the ground like ostriches and I can't say this. I can't see you, so that means you can't see me. Ons kan nie so deur die lewe gaan nie. And it's like that with the things of the Lord. You can't just be exposed to the gospel week in and week out and not make a decision. Ons is toerekeningsvatbaar vir dit wat ons weet. That's a scriptural principle. We're accountable for what we know. What do you know about the completed work of the cross? What do you know about the Great Commission? Wat die Here dan vir almal gesê het, gaan dan heen en maak disciples. What do we know about that? What do we know about the gifts and the abilities that God has given you? The talents that He's placed in you, inside you. Nee, ek wag maar net. Jy weet, ek wil net die en die eers uitsort in my lewe. Guys, we cannot sort ourselves out before coming to God. We cannot sort ourselves out before responding to the call that God has placed in my life. Hoeveel keer het jy mense gehoor wat sê, wanneer gaan hulle iets daaromtrent doen? When are they going to do something about it? Who is the they? Look around you. We are the they. It's like we go on our knees and we pray for something to happen. God, do this, God, do that. And the whole of heaven is like just waiting for a man or a woman of faith to step out in faith. All right, Lord, here I am. Use me. Heaven is waiting for men and women to be obedient and say, God, I will do it. I don't understand it all. Mense soos wat ek hier staan volgende, ek het nie al die antwoorde nie. But I'm working with what I've got. Work with what you have got. What's right in front of you. It's not in the notes that I gave the sound guys for the scriptures, but God tells Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses comes up with all these excuses. God, I can't speak properly, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I stand off for the year and I say, well, what am I going to say to Pharaoh? What am I going to use, God? And God says, what's in your hand? And Moses is like, sorry, what? God says, what's in your hand? Like, what? This stick. Yes. that stick. He used what was in Moses' hands. This morning, what is in your hand? Ek gaan vir jou een voorbeeld gee. Jy's fisies hierso. You have the privilege of physically being here. You have intelligence, some more than others. It's true. The fact is, some people are just smarter than other people in life. That's just it. I'm not one of them. I'm saying there's other people that are smarter like that. But you've got intelligence to make a choice. Make a choice. Just for starters. Then you've got access to the Word of God. You've got a body that you can be part of. You can be part of something that is bigger than you are. You can be part of the body of Christ. And I can go on and on and on. And we have the privilege of making decisions like that this morning. With this freedom, we have this responsibility to choose, ladies and gentlemen. Pontius Pilate had an opportunity to either choose or not to choose. And he stood before the people and he washed his hands. But he was still responsible for not making a decision. So this morning, if you have not made a decision, you're still accountable for the fact that you have not made a decision. He went before the crowds that were protesting and calling for the death of Jesus Christ. And he said, who do you want? Must I release to you this criminal called Barabbas or Jesus? No, crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus. He wanted to give them Barabbas. No, we want Jesus killed. And in Matthew 27:34, it says, Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere and that a riot was developing. So he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I'm innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. No, Pilate, the responsibility was yours. You passed the buck. It's like that with our kids, isn't it? When our kids are doing well and at school and first team rugby and getting all the top grades, check my kind, dis my seun daai. En dan maak hy droog en sê, kyk wat het jou kind gemaak. We disown it. But praise God, good news this morning, God never disowns us. You see, he never turns around to the universe and said, no, they're not mine. He made us in his image. You see, as we stand here today, the call of God is still on your life. Al het hy geweet waar en wanneer en hoeveel keer jy gaan droogmaak. Ladies and gentlemen, that is good news. God still loves you. He knows. Wie van julle weet, jy gaan nog steeds sondig in die toekoms? Hallo. And yet, he still loves you. Oh, that's good news. He still loves you. And he knows that we have the responsibility to choose. Pilate remains responsible for not making the decision that he could have. Proverbs 24 and verse 12. Don't try to avoid responsibility by saying you didn't know about it. For God knows all hearts and he sees you. He sees you. He keeps watch over your soul and he knows you knew. And he will judge all people according to what they have done. We can't just say like, you know, somebody yada yada and say, talk to the hand, the ears ain't listening. No, God knows that you knew. Our decisions always affect the lives of others. And this is dramatically demonstrated in the life of Jonah. In the book of Jonah 1 to 12, we see a story where God tells Jonah, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach to them. And Jonah beslates, no, Tarshish is a lot better. They've got better cinemas. They've got better restaurants. There's more jewels. I'm going to go to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. So he goes down to the docks and he sees a ship that's going to Tarshish and he buys himself a ticket for Tarshish and he hops on the boat thinking that he can run away from God and die hele breek los. I want to look at seven things quickly from that passage of Scripture, Jonah 1, 1 to 12. I'm going to read it quickly to you. The Lord gave Jonah this message, son of Amittai. Get up. Well, I've paraphrased it for you. But he says, he gives a message to Jonah. Then Jonah chooses to go in the opposite direction in an attempt to escape from the Lord. And then the Lord, it says here in the NLT, hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Then it says the sailors became desperate. Jonah was sound asleep in the boat. And then point number seven, he says, I know that all this storm is my fault. Those elements from that passage of scripture, just quickly. God's message to Jonah was clear. Go to Nineveh. God's message to us is clear. I read it from Deuteronomy 30. It's simple. I'm putting before you today life or death, blessing or cursing, prosperity or disaster, your choice. What are you going to do? It's simple. It's not complicated. The message to Jonah was clear. Go to Nineveh. God's message to us is clear. We said this last week. How do we simplify this whole thing of Christianity? I think it was the week before. I'm not sure. Love God, love people. That's Christianity in a nutshell. All the Ten Commandments summed up in those things. The first four, our relationship with God. The next six, our relationship with people. Love God, love people. God's message to Jonah was simple. Second point. Anything other than God's will for your life is the opposite direction. You see, in the scripture, there's no gray areas. It's either right or wrong. And in terms of colors, black or white. It's either God's way or the other way. People speak about Satanists and they think Satanists are the coffin kids that dress up in black with pale makeup, black lipstick, black nail varnish. They boil cats, they drink blood, they got pentagrams. That those are the Satan worshippers. Well, folks, if you're not worshipping God, who are you worshipping? If it's self, it's Satan. It is simple. You don't have to practice any occultic rituals or whatever to be on the losing team. Because if you're not on God's side, you're in a losing team. I know. We've read the end of the book and we win in the end. Hallelujah. So it's simple. Anything other than God's plan for your life is moving where? The opposite direction. Jonah chose to go in the opposite direction. Anything that deviates from the plan of God gets you going in the opposite direction. From here to Cape Town is approximately 1,400 kilometers. Approximately, give or take a few. If I'm just half a degree off here when I start, how far am I going to miss Cape Town? 1,400 kilometers from here. Because it starts off lekker smal hierso. Here, as ek maar, ach, die Here verstaan, ek is maar net 'n mens. Jy weet, he knows, I'll just compromise just a little bit here. And as you carry on your journey, what happens to that gap? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that tactic of the enemy is the same still today as he applied in the garden. In the garden, he didn't just come to Adam and Eve and say, die Here het nie gesê nie. He didn't say, oh no, God didn't say. He posed that little seed of doubt. Did God really say that? Maybe he says to you, do you really think that God can forgive you again? do you really think that what you got, you can be of any value to your church? Do you really think that you are going to amount to anything? Look what your dad did, your dad's dad. Look what your booties and your sissies could do. Do you really think that you can really make a difference in hierdie Dupree family? As our Dupree is vanoggend, is hy op jou gemik nie, hoor. Do you really think that you... Maybe the enemy comes with a little bit of doubt. I want to tell you that's a lie to get you in the opposite direction. Point number four from Jonah's story. It says, the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea. Who organized the storm on the sea? Let me try that again. Who organized the storm on the sea? Sometimes God brings a storm in your life to get your attention. Dan staan ons daar en ons sê, "Wake Satan." In the meantime, it's God orchestrated. Want jy's 'n bietjie hardnekkig. Omdat jy droog gemaak het. I think it's Proverbs 19 and verse 3. It says, people end up in a mess because of their own decisions and then blame God. Really? I've paraphrased that. I might have a chapter and verse wrong, but here we see that the Lord organized the storm. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God brings a storm in our life to get our attention. Maybe this morning you're at a place where the devil has come for you. He's really out to get you. But maybe you're at a place where just because of the silly decisions that you've made, a storm has broken loose in your life. And then there you are. But Lord, why? Why me, Lord? Well, why not you? Why not me? The fourth point is that God hurled the storm over the sea. Point number five. The sailors were desperate. Now, nou hulle lewens in gevaar. The point is that the lives of other people get affected by the decisions that we make, people. If a person is abusing a substance, it has been guesstimated or worked out that approximately, I think, between 12 and 20-something other people are either directly or indirectly affected by that substance abuse. Some of you can relate to that. Some of you are facing the consequences of it today as we speak here this morning. The lives of other people are affected by the decisions that we make. So sailors were desperate. Desperate because of what was going on. The sixth point is, it says, while this was happening, Jonah was sound asleep. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you jy is heeltemal onverskillig teenoor die gevolge van jou besluite wat jy geneem het. The fact remains, the fact that you're asleep does not change the call of God on your life. The fact that you're ignoring it doesn't change the fact that God has called you to make a difference. The fact that you being disobedient, I'm a lot of you this morning. The fact that I am disobedient doesn't change the fact that God has called me to obedience. Jonah was asleep in the boat. The storm was still raging. Other people's lives were still in danger, and God still wanted his messenger to go to Nineveh. None of that had changed. And that's something to realize, even though Jonah was sound asleep. And point number seven, Jonah, hy kom tot sy sin, and he realizes. They ask him, what's going on? They wake him up and say, hey, why are you busy sleeping while all this is going on? Can't you see our lives in danger? Let's all pray to our gods and see what happens to get us out of this mess. And Jonah says, guys, I know that this is because of me. You know the story, he gets thrown overboard, ends up for 3 days in the belly of a fish. And Jonah says, I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. And he repents of his ways eventually. And he ends up going to Nineveh. And you read the rest of the story there. It ends up in beautiful salvation of the whole town of Nineveh, all of Nineveh, all of the people. And the seventh point is this, that when we come before God in obedience, there's beautiful fruit from that. There's salvation that comes from that. There's benefits to others when we respond to the call of God in our lives. Maybe you see today, my brother, my sister, you're watching at home, and there's an area of disobedience in your life. Maybe you're sound asleep. Maybe you're going in the opposite direction. It hasn't changed the fact that God has called. And there's beautiful salvation, beautiful fruits of righteousness waiting on the other side of your obedience to the Lord. And that concept of our decisions affect the lives of others is also demonstrated by the completed work of Jesus on the cross. Our accountability before God is not only for our lives, but it affects the lives of others. Our accountability for God before God is not only for our lives, but for the life of Jesus. Think about that. Our accountability is not only for our own lives before God, but for the lives of others. Our accountability before God is not only for our life, but for the life of Jesus. In other words, what have we done with God's Son Jesus? What have we done? What have we done that 2020 odd years ago on a cross, Jesus gave up his life and said, it is finished, breathed out his last as his spirit left his body? 3 days he was in the grave, 3 days later he rose from the dead. Appeared to over 500 people afterwards for a 40-day period after that, ascended up into heaven. When he was going up, angels said, don't worry, in the same way you see him go, he's coming back again. We see that in Acts chapter 1. What have we done about these truths? What have we done with the life of Jesus through the decisions that we have made? How have we handled the freedom that we have been given? Think about that. So this morning, we are here with various things that God has given us. Talents, ability. One guy said to me a couple of years ago, he said, Mozzie, ek het nie geld nie. Ek het nie een enkele cent om vir iemand te gee nie, maar ek het tyd. Ek kan my tyd vir ander mense gee. Ek kan iets doen vir ander mense. Die skills wat ek het, kan ek ander mense daarmee bless. Maybe all you've got is time. You have time to give to other people. I trust that this has challenged you as much as it has challenged me. Lockdown might have restricted our freedom of movement to a degree, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And this morning we are a free people. My brother, my sister, watching online, you are free if you've accepted the freedom of life that Jesus gives you. What have we been freed from? We've been freed from the consequences and the bondage of sin, staying trapped and imprisoned by sin. We've been freed from being the devil's playthings and victims of the world. We've been freed to live a life of challenges and storms and difficulties, but as overcomers through God who loves us. Because we know that in all these things, these challenges that we face, we're more than overcomers and conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. And if you're sitting here this morning and watching at home, and I encourage you, what are we going to do with this freedom that we've been given? My encouragement to you is that you go before God honestly and say, Lord, what's the next thing that you want me to do with this freedom? Where have I abused or neglected this freedom? In what areas of my life have I allowed my life to go to sleep, so to speak, and have perhaps gone in the opposite direction from which you have called me? Remember that we are free to share this good news with people and share our lives with people. The best thing that you can do, the best sermon that people will ever see, is not one that's preached from this pulpit, but is your life's message. Your life's message is the best sermon that you can preach. If you're a parent this morning, jy wil 'n lewensles vir jou kind gee, your example in the workplace, at home, at school, in the workshops, on the playgrounds, in the marketplace, in the shopping centers, in your community, in your church. Your life's message is the best sermon that people can ever possibly get to see. I pray that by the Spirit of God, He'll give us wisdom to apply this to our lives in such a way that when people look at us and see our lives, they'll be drawn to a relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning, if you've been watching and you don't even have this relationship with Jesus, you're not experiencing this life of freedom in Jesus, it is one prayer of faith away. My brother, my sister, if you're watching this morning and you're not experiencing this life of freedom that Jesus has given you, like Jonah came to his senses and realized that he's running away from God and he can't escape, whether he's on the boat or in the water or in the belly of a fish, meters and meters below the surface of the water, you cannot escape God's purposes for your life. My encouragement to you is simply come in humility before the Lord this morning and say, God, I want this. I want this freedom that Jesus brings. And if you're watching in your heart, whatever you're doing, just give God a few moments to work in your life this morning. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer this morning for those that are here with us in these buildings. Simply come before God. And as we pray together, say, God, I have the freedom this morning to say the simple prayer. I have the freedom to pray this prayer or not. And this morning, Lord, I choose to receive the freedom that you paid for me, Lord Jesus. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died and rose again from the dead, that you paid the price of shedding your blood to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, because I've sinned against you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for paying the price for me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe that you died and rose again from the dead. And I believe that you went up to heaven to prepare a place for me. And I ask you now, forgive me. God in heaven, in Jesus' name, forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. I ask you now to come into my life. I ask you to be Lord of my life. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that from today you guide me in every decision I make to live the rest of my life to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Thank you, God, that through this prayer of faith and your sacrifice, I can be a child of God from today. In Jesus' name, amen. And folks, if you prayed that prayer and you know that God has touched your life and moved in your heart and made a change in your spirit, and you don't have a spiritual home, a church that you belong to, I want to encourage you to get in touch with us. Our contact details are on our web page, on the Facebook page. Get in touch with us. We'd love to send material to you and pray with you to help you in your walk with God. Brothers and sisters, thank you for making the time to come this morning and to fellowship with us here at Barkers Church. We love you and appreciate you. We're praying for you all the time. We're not just saying that. We really are praying for everybody. Until such time that we have the privilege of getting together again next week, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Take care and have a great week. Remember, love God, love people. Thank you.